Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Much like Flair, our society today tries to get the bare minimum. What's the minimum amount of Flair that I have to wear to work here? What's the minimum things that I have to do in order to be a neighbor, in order to be a Christian? I want to do just the bare minimum. And that's the wrong question. The question is not, what is the bare minimum that I must do to be a Christian? The question is, look at what Jesus Christ has done for me. How can I now serve him? It's the wrong question. It's a misfocus. God commanded his people in the Old Testament to love their neighbors. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord, God commanded to his people. In our gospel lesson for today, you see a man try to find out what the bare minimum is. I've done all these things. I have loved God above all things. What else must I do? You must love your neighbor as yourself, he also said. Well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells this parable. It's a parable that you all know. It's a parable that even our legal system at least understood, since there are Good Samaritan laws. Laws that understand when people are trying to help. The Good Samaritan is an anomaly because it's a Samaritan helping an Israelite. These two groups did not get along. They did not get along because the Samaritans were not supposed to continue on. They had chased after false gods after the northern kingdom had fallen. They chased after them. They went to them. They lost sight of the promise. And yet, when this Israelite is walking down the path and he is beaten and he is left half dead, the ones that you assume would have helped him, the priest, sees the man laying there and he walks by on the other side. A Levite of the tribe of Levi, of which all the priests came, because you'll remember that in the Old Covenant, God set up his priesthood. He sets up first Aaron, and then the sons of Aaron, and then the men from the tribe of Levi. That was the priesthood. You could only be a priest of the Lord if you were a man from the tribe of Levi. So first the priest looks at it and he passes by on the other side. And then a Levite looks at him and passes by on the other side, wanting nothing to do with it. But in this story, Jesus tells of a Samaritan who sees this man in need and goes to him, not trying to sidestep him, not trying to pretend like he doesn't exist, but he sees this man who he did not know in need, and he goes to care for him. To love your neighbor as yourself. To treat others as you would want to be treated. If you were broken and beaten and robbed on the side of the street, would you want a Christian to look at you and pretend like you didn't exist and to pass by on the other side? God forbid. Christians are sinners just like every other religious person that follows a different religion. We're all sinners. The difference is that the Christian recognizes the only hope out of sin. That hope is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Good Samaritan. He is the one that they ostracized, not from Samaria, but from the northern place of Galilee. They ostracized him. The Pharisees would say, are we not right in saying you are Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus would say, I have no demon. They would ostracize him because they didn't understand him. They didn't like him, because his righteousness exceeded theirs. You, dear Christian, stop to help the one in need.
not because you are better than them, but because Jesus Christ is alive and working in you. When you give consideration to what this Samaritan man does to help the broken man in need, it is truly incredible. He goes far above and beyond what would be expected. When natural disasters happen, when tornadoes rip through our state, when massive floods rip through another country, we are quick to pray for them. We are quick to send monetary aid. These are wonderful things. But what about the person that we come upon in our own neighborhood? What about the person that we see on our own street who is haggard and torn? Would we simply say thoughts and prayers? Or would we stop to provide assistance? You should absolutely pray with and for this person, but offer ways to help. The Samaritan stops whatever he was doing that day. He was living his life, but he sees this need, and he binds this man up. He takes what is broken, and he provides a healing hand. It's truly a beautiful story. What is a neighbor? It's the one in need. Your closest neighbor should come first. We have a misunderstanding of neighbor in our society today. It is that everybody else, other than your closest neighbor first. In the scriptures, we understand that your first neighbor is the one that lives under your own house. You should not harm your wife or your children to take in something else. You should not do those aspects of that life if it hurts your nearest neighbor. But if you recognize that your wife and your children are properly cared for, and you see your neighbor in need, you should help. It's a beautiful story. So there, the Samaritan is walking by, and he has compassion. This isn't empathy. This is sympathy. This is compassion for the plight of this man that he did not know. And he goes, he bandages his wounds, he pours on oil and wine, and he sets him on his own animal, bringing him to an inn to take care of him. Pouring on oil should remind us of what Christ, our good Samaritan, has done for us. For the water of holy baptism carries a purifying aspect to it, washing our sins away. The historic rite of baptism includes wiping with oil on the forehead as a sign of blessing. And wine. When we see wine in this instance, we are reminded of what our Lord has done for us. He has poured out his blood from his hands, from his feet, from his head, from his side. He pours out that blood. He washes our iniquities clean. We see in this story that Christ is the Good Samaritan who washes us in baptism and whose blood fills us to wash away our sins. His body was given, his blood was shed for the remission of all of our sins. And he bandages us. And on top of that, he takes care of us for all of eternity. This man has done all these things. Certainly it is enough. But instead he pays for the man's room and says, whatever else you need, I will pay it. When you look at our own sins, you should be able to recognize that we cannot pay God back for the debt that we owe him. It is insurmountable. The weight is too heavy. We can't do it. We can't earn it. But thanks be to God, Jesus Christ has. His life is poured out and the weight is taken away. Not just temporarily, but for all of eternity. Jesus pays the debt. He pays it so fully that nothing more is demanded of us.
The question as a Christian isn't, what's the bare minimum that I have to do to be called a Christian? What's the bare minimum amount of times that I have to go to church in a year? What's the bare minimum of an offering I have to give? What's the bare minimum of service that I must give? What's the bare minimum of prayers that I must offer? Wrong question. Lord, I thank you that you have completely taken me out of the filth, out of the muck that is my sin, and set me on the right path. You have bound up my infirmities. You have washed me thoroughly. And now, which was scarlet, is turned white as wool. Lord, how may I serve you? That's the question. So many had lived under the old covenant, waiting for the time of the Messiah. They had heard the promise. Abraham had received the promise. God cut a covenant with him, and he waited. All nations will be blessed by your seed, Abraham. The promise passed down to his son, through Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, through Judah. Generation after generation heard the promise. They believed in the Messiah who was to come, and it was counted to them as righteousness. Adam had believed in the Messiah. Abraham had believed in the Messiah. Even before the law had ever been given, God's people were made righteous, not by their fulfilling of the law, but by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ is that minimum. But thanks be to God, faith does not come alone. Faith produces good works, not so that you may be saved through your works, but that others may see Jesus in your life. The promised seed, that seed is Jesus. People under the old covenant were saved, not because they followed the law better than we do today. They were saved in the same way that we are. They believed God's word. They believed that promised seed, that Messiah, the Christ, would come to save them from all of their sins. God confirmed this, and in his proper time, he sent forth his only begotten Son, born of a virgin, born under the law, to live perfectly for us. That seed is Christ. This is the promise. Now God has called on you after giving you faith in him. Because remember, after all, we love him because he first loved us. Now we turn around and we love and serve God, and we love and serve our neighbor. If you are a husband, love your wife. Provide for her. Protect her. Lead her in the faith, in the ways of righteousness. And do the same for your children. If you are a wife, love and honor, submit to your husband as the church submits to Christ. Be the nurturing heart of your home. Care for your children in only the way that you can. If you are not yet married, but are waiting on God's timing, live a chaste life, preparing yourself in devotion to him. And if the Lord has granted you the spiritual gift of celibacy, use all the extra time that God has given you to serve and glorify his name. If you are a widow, if your spouse has been taken by the Lord in this life, then continue to live your life in worship, in prayer for others, and in devotion to the things of God. Loving your neighbor as yourself does not mean drowning your children and grandchildren with people that reject Jesus as the Christ. It simply doesn't. It looks like preparing them. It looks like teaching them. It looks like building new institutions since the old ones have been taken from us. It looks like showing them Jesus, no matter what others might say about you.
Let them see Jesus. Let Jesus shine through your works this day and into the future. Raise them up in the faith. Be the good Samaritan as Christ is. Bind up the brokenhearted. Be the instrument that God works in his hands. You are his hands. You are his feet. All of us can tell the good news of what Jesus Christ has done. We do it into ages upon ages. The church sings. In suffering be thy love my peace. In weakness be thy love my power. And when the storms of life shall cease, O Jesus, in that final hour, be thou my rod and staff and guide, and draw me safely to thy side. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.